down, but there's no better time to hit the links. This is Global Golf Radio, presented by Franklin American Mortgage Company, with Ned Michaels and Barney Allery.
Hey, that guy called it right. He said, the sun's going down. He said, hey, he said, Barney Allery, that's me.
That's it.
So, folks, welcome into Global Golf Radio. I am Barney Allery. I'm the head golf instructor at the Old Hickory Country Club. And I could not be any happier to be joined by my good friend, Mr. Joe Hall. Joe, thank you so much for coming in this evening.
Thank you, Barney. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
So, folks, we want you to be a part of the show. For that, all you have to do is give us a call at 615-737-1045. That's 615-737-1045. We've got a lot to cover, and we want you to be a part of it as well. So, among other things going on in this evening's show, we're going to have a Nashville Golf Show recap with Joe. He's also going to tell us things that are going on more locally in golfer tee times, including we're going to talk about Dick Horton and what a fabulous award that he got. So good on him. Nancy Corsolino, a sweet, precious friend of mine, she got the Distinguished Career Award with the Tennessee PGA. I'm extremely proud of her. We're going to talk about that. Also, my friend Garrick Malone, he's launching a junior golf, a junior golf league, junior golf tournaments called Catalyst Golf. We'll talk about that. And we've got so much more to talk about and cover. But first, we've got to go and take a glance at what just happened on the PGA Tour this past weekend. World Golf Championships, Mexico Championship, and Joe, Patrick Reed. I have never in my life seen a guy that can thrive among such controversy, because it was just last week at the start of the week that in this kind of a podcast, Brooks Koepka kind of has this conversation, and it's on tape out there in the whole internet universe, right? It's somewhere in the cloud. Something about how I haven't played golf in 3 months, and I can tell you if my club touches the sand or not. Then he follows that up with that I don't know if Patrick Reed was building sandcastles in there, making reference to what Patrick Reed did in the Bahamas back in the fall. And then within 24 hours, Peter Costas comes up and says, I've seen him cheat at least 4 times.
And that's for public knowledge. I mean, Peter Costas said that.
And 6 days later, Patrick Reed, congratulations to you amidst all the controversy. He shoots a 4-under par, final round 67, 18-under total, eclipse Bryson DeChambeau. It's his 8th career win. I have never seen a guy thrive under such controversy in my life.
Yeah, absolute scrutiny. Now, also in that tournament, Bryson DeChambeau seems like he wants to hammer down a path for his ball to go, right, with this putter.
Well, so Bryson DeChambeau, he has some moments of greatness followed by moments that I bet he wished he had a mulligan.
Yeah.
Because I bet that you've also forgotten that it was at the same event last year that he has seen tomahawking his putter in the practice putting green. And so he didn't know cameras were on, but one of the reporters for Golf Channel had as the background the practice putting green, and they're taping as he kind of walks behind the guy, and clearly you see him just pile drive the putter in the ground. And then this time around, then he turns around, and let's just say that with a lot of force, he stamped down a few spike marks, and it's just not a good look on him.
No,
not as bad as Patrick Reed, but it's not a good look on Bryson DeChambeau either.
Well, they changed the rules there, allowing him to do that, and he took advantage of it.
I don't know if they meant slamming it in the ground at about an inch or a half inch lower than the actual putting surface, right?
But I'll tell you, Patrick Reed, he has a cloud that follows him, and it has followed him since he played college ball. College golf.
Yes.
And it's followed him, but he seems to thrive with the controversy.
And so now, don't look now, but Patrick Reed, despite all the controversy that, again, as you mentioned, has been following him since his amateur and collegiate career, but it is now his 8th career win. And not only that, but it also moves him to 8th in the official world golf rankings. Now, he told us back in 2014
he's one of the top five best players
in the world. So he's still got 3 more spots to go as far as he's concerned. But nonetheless, he's now moved into the top 10. And did you also know that as it stands, the win also moves him to being 3rd currently in the U.S. Ryder Cup standings? So in other words, unless he flat out falls off the side of the earth,
get ready.
Yeah, he's going to play in the Ryder Cup.
There. Yeah, yeah. And he takes with him a lot of attention, a lot of excitement. Fans like to see it, whether you like him or not. He's going to draw that attention.
So Patrick Reed wins the event, but there are several others that sure came close, and they kind of let the tournament just slip right out of their hands. First on the list is Bryson DeChambeau. When it's all said and done, the dust settles. After playing brilliantly in the final round, where he had 8 birdies in the first 14 holes, Bryson DeChambeau plays the last 4 holes and par, par, bogey, par. And Patrick Reed in the last 4 holes thrives, where he birdies 15, 16, and 17, and can actually bogey 18 and still go on and win. So Bryson DeChambeau, I know that he sure wishes he would have won the event. John Rahm played brilliantly on Saturday, had a hole in one, also shot a course record 61 as well. Rory McIlroy, that I believe it's now his 6th top 5 finish. And again, he's playing great enough to be in the top 5, but he just can't quite get over the hump a little bit to win. And then Justin Thomas, that everyone thought he's going to win it this time, but no, what did him in specifically, at least in my eyes, is when he bogeys 7-8, and then he pars 9, and then he makes a double bogey on 10. And for Justin Thomas, I guess you'll just have to wait for next year in Mexico.
Well, it was that perfect scenario for Patrick Reed. Patrick gained on the field, and the field dropped away from him. I mean, those two things happened. Briefly was he challenged by Bryson, but they fell away. He went ahead.
And if you would like to maybe have your 8th career win on the PGA Tour, maybe be in the top 10 in the world, well, maybe you can steal a page of Patrick Reed and what he did this week, because would you believe me if I told you? And ladies and gentlemen, get ready, because I've got 8 stats that blow my mind. They don't quite make me say shut your mouth. I'll get to that in a minute. But they kind of blow my mind. Starting with Patrick Reed, his strokes gained putting, ladies and gentlemen, was a plus 11.82. That's a number that I've either never seen or have never seen real often. Again, strokes gained putting, plus 11.82. Also for the week, in a 72-hole tournament, ladies and gentlemen, he had 45 one-putt greens, including 11 in the final round. When it's all said and done, between the 4 rounds accumulated, he also accumulated 454 feet worth of putts. 454 feet worth of putts.
That's not very far.
If you're good with math, that's pretty good. He also got fewer than 100 putts for 72 holes for the second time this year. He's the only guy on tour. I think he had 98 putts in this event, and at another tournament earlier in the year, he had 99 putts. So again, so if you're any good with math, he's getting 25 putts or less per round. And then his putting inside 10 feet out of 64 attempts, Joe Hall, he made 60 of them. 60 out of 64 from 10 feet and in. Now bear in mind that out of the 64, many of those are also at 1 foot, 2 foot, 2.5 foot, and stuff like that. But some of them are also at 7, 8, 9 foot that might break another foot or two.
And how many one putts?
Well, he had 45 for the tournament and 11 in the final round. And then his strokes gained around the green was a plus 3.2. And scrambling was 22 out of 28. And that's evidently part of what you need to do to win a World Golf Championship.
Flat blade was working. was working.
Yes.
Because 11 one putts out of 18 holes.
Is astonishing.
Yes.
And for all his efforts, he got him a cool $1.8 million out there in Mexico.
And those weren't pesos. Those were real dollars.
That's right. But in the meantime, Patrick Reed also leaves us the door wide open for maybe what I have to consider the front-running shut your mouth of the year, because somewhere along the way in the press tent on Sunday, he's asked something along the likes of how does it feel to play like the role of the villain or something to that effect? And he chuckles and he says, well, I'm kind of used to it. And then he goes on and he looks as though he's about to say something like it either doesn't affect me or is kind of what I'm expecting him to say, or I'm kind of used to it. And right in the middle of the sentence, it's like he changed his train of thought and he says, and I quote, at the end of the day, all I can do is control what I do on and off the golf course. And if I feel like I'm improving on and off the golf course and setting a good example for the next generation and the children, including my own children, then that is all I can do. And I feel I've been doing a good job at that lately. And I feel I've been growing as a person and as a golfer, and that's all I can do.
And the microphone did not blow up. No smoke came out of it, right?
Is he serious? Is he kidding? Does he know we can hear him?
Well, I think that's why he thrives.
You is he taking advice from the Houston Astros? Is that what's happening? Yeah.
He must be. He believes himself.
When he says, I've been doing a good job at that lately, does that mean in the last 2 days? Is that what he's talking about?
Maybe the last 30 minutes. Because
in the eyes of many, what transpired in the Bahamas, in the eyes of many, many are never going to let that go.
And it's
not going to shake that.
Right. And it's more than just one person that says that. I mean, I'm sure that the players feel that way. A lot of them will not voice their feelings about it. But Peter Costas voiced it. Several people have.
Fortunately for him, we live in the most forgiving country on the planet, at least that I'm aware of. And I have to believe as the season keeps progressing and other tournaments, you know, take place and stuff, that then a few other majors and stuff, and then at least it won't be at the front of our mind. But Patrick Reed, come on. Shut your mouth for a minute.
I wonder how his playing mate is going to feel that gets to play with him in the Ryder Cup, how they're going to feel about that.
Well, I don't know, but I'll tell you what, if there's a little controversy, Patrick Reed can take
it.
But folks, keep it right here. You're listening to Global Golf Radio. When we come back, Joe Hall's going to give us just a little bit of a Nashville Golf Show recap, at least in his eyes. He's also going to tell us what's happening more currently in the Middle Tennessee area and the golfing community, as he is also, him and his beautiful wife, Carol, they are the tag team duo that is Golf for Tee Time. So, folks, keep it right here. There's a lot more to go. You're listening to Global Golf Radio on 104.5 The Zone.
How did you...
All right, we keep swinging here at Global Golf Radio again. Folks, welcome again. Thanks so much for joining us again. I'm Barney Aller. I'm the head golf instructor at the Old Hickory Country Club. I am joined in studio by Joe Hall. Thanks to Ryan Albanese and everything that he does. Not joining us in studio is Ned Michaels. Ned is sadly and unfortunately feeling under the weather, but at least I know he's got one thing that should bring a big, bright smile to his face is, man, that guy's got some good-looking hair.
That hair.
And if you want good-looking hair, all you have to do is what Ned does. Go to Uncle Classic Barbershop. They've got locations in Bellmead, Brentwood, Cool Springs, Hillwood, and Nolensville. You can book online 24/7 at www.uncleclassicbarbershop.com. It's Ned Michaels Barbershop, and it should be yours, too. I know that he loves the straight razor. His wife also mentioned something about he needs to look into the gray blending that they have available so they can do more than just cut your hair. So, again, do what Ned does and go to Uncle Classic Barbershop. But now, Joe, you and Carol were both, you are the Nashville Golf Show that just took place a week and a half ago at the beautiful brand-new facility at the fairgrounds amidst all the controversy that was happening at the fairgrounds. A lot of people fail to realize that the fairgrounds, they built a brand new exhibition hall, and I think it was just the right size. I think you've hit your sweet spot. I think that the 2020 Nashville Golf Show was a smashing success.
Thank you, Barney. I appreciate that so much, and everything you said is correct. One of the things, too, if you don't think that Ned has hair, wait a couple of days while we post some photos. Ned was our gracious MC Friday and Saturday, so we've got some photos of him and his hair. Uh-huh. So it'll be up on our website very soon. But no, Barney, I'll tell you, we were so tickled with the show. Thanks to people like you. You helped us out tremendously. You were there representing Ping in our demo area, MC for us on Sunday. And it's because of you, the staff at the fairgrounds. I can't say enough about them, the exhibitors, the attendees. I hope everyone had fun. The comments that we heard coming in, especially from native Middle Tennesseans, was what I sort of expected. They didn't know that building was there.
Right.
They didn't know that facility was there.
Right.
And believe me, we've got a home now.
Yes, yes.
And this is, I appreciate your saying it, Joe and Carol's, but this is really Nashville's golf show.
Right.
And that's what we want to develop going forward. But, yes, we have a home now. We've not had any two venues the same for 4 years. So we're just super excited going forward.
No, and so as time flies, this is now Nashville, the Nashville Golf Show. This is now the fourth Nashville Golf Show that's now come and gone. And I think you've got a fantastic location in a brand-new facility at the fairgrounds. And also, I know that some people privately would tell me, you know, I wish we had more clubs to try. And that's why I was there at the Hitting Net.
Thank you.
And I think that there was plenty of opportunities for people to try out clubs, as well as I was also very impressed, for instance, with what Golf Tech did.
Yes.
That they brought out what I believe is their K-Vest.
That's right.
And so you could take like a sort of a lesson. And so what this vest does is it kind of captures how you move in space to some extent. And then you could get some readings and some findings and stuff like that. So I think what they did was great. And then, of course, there was all sorts of opportunities for stay and play packages, not just in Tennessee, but in other southeastern states. So I think there's something for a little bit everybody.
Well, that's what we're trying to do, Barney, is to appeal to all types of golfers, junior golfers, women golfers, tournament players, amateurs, PGA, everyone. And just bear with us. We are building it. We are building it. The demo day this year was a step toward that direction. Bridgestone came on board, gave a lot of balls away, and that's that new ball that was actually revealed on Valentine's Day, that we opened. Everyone got a two-ball pack, the first 400 each day. So we're really trying our best to entertain the golfer with a variety.
You also had all sorts of contests and competitions and giveaways and different things like that. So again, I think it was a great opportunity.
Well, thank you. A lot of different people, different organizations stepped up. Golf House Tennessee, the Tennessee PGA section, Tennessee Golf Association, Tennessee Foundation, Golf Foundation. Paul Brandlin with Sun Mountain.
That's right.
Just did a great job. Joe Hallett at Vanderbilt Legends.
That's right.
Matt Walters, who won, you were at the awards yesterday, the PGA section. Matt won an award there.
Yep.
So we are very, very pleased and honored to have the representation from the golf community at the show. And going forward, we just hope everyone will come out and take it in, because believe me, the fairgrounds is not the old fairgrounds that you may think of, and especially last year when we had the show there in an older building.
Yes.
Great facility.
Great facility, brand-new facility. And so the 2021 Nashville Golf Show, so again, it's going to be a year from now,
but guess what?
Oh. Might as well feel like two or three weeks from now, but it's going to be a year from now. But for those who didn't go, I strongly advise, or again, just put in the back of your mind that a year from now, how about you make some plans on joining us?
And I forgot to congratulate our admin volunteers. I'll tell you. I mean, it's a group effort, and they do such a tremendous job. We've already had a post meeting. We're all excited. We're already starting for next year.
That's right.
It will be February the 12th, 13th, and 14th.
That's right. So now, Joe, why don't you go ahead and tell us what can we expect out of this upcoming Golfers Tee Times paper?
Well, some of it is going to be some stories that will come out. Will be the Simmons Bank, of course, announcing an 8-year contract to have the Nashville Golf Open.
That's right.
Here in Nashville, in Middle Tennessee, for 8 years. That's almost unheard of, to have an endorsement for that many years. So we'll have information about that. Nancy Corsolino, you touched on early about her Distinguished Career Award.
Yeah.
That was handed out yesterday at the PGA Section Awards. Yes.
Sweet lady.
Nancy has hung in there, has done a tremendous job, and Brad Shirley introduced her.
Yep.
And I thought it was really, really neat the way he introduced her. Said whenever he went to work at Hermitage Golf Course, she was his boss, and he was young, you know, and so he thought, well, this is a good gig. You know, I'm going to work behind the counter, and at the end of the day, I'm going to go out and hit balls and teach. And he said he noticed that Nancy was always going in the office and doing some work and preparing for the future. And he said it didn't take too long for him to figure out that's what you need to do in order to be successful.
Right.
So congratulations to Nancy. Very, very well deserved.
But Nancy as well. It's incalculable the impact that she's had in the Nashville golfing community of teaching men and women the because she's been around for such a while now that Joe, you're talking tens of thousands of people that have taken lessons with her and hopefully have gone on to improve, keep playing. Because myself, as I teach at the Old Hickory Country Club, in the eyes of myself and most people in the PGA, golf can't afford to lose one golfer.
No.
Not one.
Yeah.
And she has been basically growing the game between junior golf, men and women, in the Middle Tennessee area for decades and decades. And Nancy, you got recognized yesterday by your peers in the Tennessee PGA. And well done. We're all very proud of you.
Right. And Nancy is known not just in Tennessee, but throughout the country with her expertise in teaching. And that brings up a point for me, Barney, and I'll go on about the tee times. Our issue will come out in April. But here in Middle Tennessee, we are truly blessed with teaching professionals like yourself. I mean, there are numerous, and I think Nancy said it yesterday, you know, there's a lot of folks out there that are well-deserving, too, because of their professionalism and what they do. I just applaud you and the Matt Walters, the Nancy Corsolinos, the Joe Hallets. I mean, it goes on and on and on. And we are truly blessed to have folks like you.
Because another one of my expressions, do not be deceived by the fact the ball's just sitting there, that this is easy. Because
no.
I tell you, it's not that easy.
No, it isn't. But we're truly blessed, and we appreciate that. I think that might be a great future cover for Tee Times publication. But back to Tee Times, of course, we'll cover the awards that were given out and some of the changes that have occurred at some of the golf courses, some of the projects that they have. Was up at Legacy today, and what they're doing, changing their bunkers, converting to the better Billy bunkers.
Oh, yeah.
Which is very, very popular now. Chet is their superintendent, doing a great job. And I talked to several people yesterday at the awards, and some of the projects that superintendents are involved in over the winter months are going to make for better play at the courses this season.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have a paper full. It will come out the 1st of August. I mean, 1st of April. We might have a prediction or two for the Masters.
Yep.
Because it'll be right a week or so after that.
So, Joe, hold that thought.
Yes, sir.
With everything else that's coming up on Golfer Tee Times, folks, we're going to take a break here for just a minute. But when we come back, Joe's going to tell us a little bit more going on with Golfer Tee Times, as well as, you know what, I might tell you what Tiger Woods is going to serve at the Champions Dinner here at the Masters. So, folks, keep it right here. You're listening to Global Golf Radio on 104.5 The Zone.
Excuse me, Captain.
All right. Making the turn here at Global Golf Radio. I'm Barney Aller, the head golf instructor at the Old Hickory Country Club. And again, sitting across from me is Joe Hall. With Golfer Tee Times, thanks for everything that Joe does, not just with me here this evening, but with Golfer Tee Times and the Nashville Golf Show. Not sitting in studio is Ned Michaels. Yeah. Ned, unfortunately, is feeling a little under the weather, but I know something that's going to make Ned awfully happy. Ned and I are going to get to go play golf in Mississippi.
Oh,
and you know
you
what?
Kidding.
And you should too, ladies and gentlemen. And for that, all you have to do is go to www.visitmississippi.org, take care of all of your travel plans. And, of course, in Mississippi, why wouldn't you go to Mississippi? They got gorgeous golf courses like Mossy Oak, Old Waverly, Fallen Oak, Dancing Rabbit, world-class seafood. Of course, they got chicken. For heaven's sakes, they got chicken. They've got a chicken farm in Sanderson Farm sponsoring the PGA Tournament. Of course, they got chicken, and they've got sports betting.
Yes.
You happen to mention maybe some predictions for the Masters. And so if you feel good enough about who do you think's going to win the Masters, well, again, you go to Mississippi. That's something else that you can do. So, again, all you have to do is go to www.visitmississippi.org. They can take care of all of your travel plans. But for Ned and I, as a special invitation by Craig Ray, who's the director of tourism with the great state of Mississippi, we're going to be playing in the Pro-Am, part of the Champions Tour event that they're going to have out there along the Gulf. Out in Mississippi, I think around the end of March.
Yep.
So let's say, I want to say maybe March like 25th, 26th, something like that. And I tell you, I'm looking forward to it.
Barney, I got to tell you a quick story about my peak in golf.
That's
and,
right.
And the valley in golf. And it was about Mississippi. I was invited to play in the Pro-Am at Fallen Oak in Biloxi several years ago. And so I'm really excited. I head down that way. I'm going to play on Thursday. So the gentleman that invited me, he's going to call me after they have the pairings party on Tuesday night, I believe. And so Carol and I head down that way. We stop at Dancing Rabbit in Philadelphia and stay there for a day or two. We get up, head down to Biloxi. He calls me and he says, Joe, you're going to love this. Your playing partner is Jay Haas. So, oh, man, he is just one of the gentlemen.
And now, how long ago was all this? Like 10, 12, 15 years ago?
Maybe 8 to 10.
And so, Jay Haas is on fire.
Oh,
he's winning everything, playing like a machine.
I mean, I'm way up here, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, and Freddie Couples is going to be in the group in front of us, and Tom Watson's going to be behind us. Oh, I mean, I'm just in heaven. Oh, this is going to be great. So the closer we get to the Gulf, the thicker the skies became. And we got there. The heavens opened up. It rained for 2 days. They didn't even open the golf course until late Friday. So there I was up on a mountain 1 minute and down in the valley the next.
Heartbroken.
But I did get to go back to Fallen Oak. It is a beautiful, beautiful golf course. And Visit Mississippi was one of our exhibitors in the show, gave away two great prizes.
That's right.
And I actually know the gentleman that won one of those, Harold Lee.
Oh, nice.
Plays out at Harpeth Hills.
Nice.
So congratulations to Harold and those others that won a lot of prizes.
So, Joe, in the previous segment, we were talking about what's coming up for the April edition of Golf for Tee Time. So keep going.
Yeah, we'll have a lot of local news. As you know, Barney, Tee Times is a publication that is about human interest stories. It's about people. It's about some events, but we don't try to be current with those events because they happen every week in golf. So our human interest stories, we hope that people will enjoy. And we always throw in travel. There's always travel destinations involved in the paper. So we'll have a sort of a recap for the winter months in our April issue of what has happened. Again, it'd be things like the PGA Section Awards. And one of the things that we're doing this year that we're really excited about, and I hope everyone listening will have an opportunity to participate. We have a lady that came on board late in our golf show who is a social media person and did a fantastic job of incorporating an aggressive social media program for the show. We're going to keep her on board for the publication. We'll be sending out newsletters every 2 weeks from Tee Times that will give them some information in between issue dates so that every other notification or every other newsletter will be the current issue digitally. So we'll be having contests, giving away a lot of prizes. I think all golfers love to get prizes, so we'll be giving those out, having contests. So you'll be able to keep up with Tee Times, not just in the hard copy, but through our social media and through the website and through our digital version.
And, Joe, as time flies, how long have you been with Golf for Tee Times?
Almost 30 years.
Are you serious?
Almost 30 years.
So it's another one of those situations that I would have put the over-under on about 20 or so, and it never fails. And when I think something is like 20 years, it's probably 25 to 30. When I think something like 2 or 3, it's probably more like 4 and 5.
Right. Now, Joey Smith was the original publisher.
That's
We took it, I think, from him.
I'm so old, I remember Joey Smith. That's how old I am.
Well, Joey's not old. I saw him at the show, so he will appreciate that. But no, we have had it 22, 23 years.
Okay.
The publication is right at 30 years.
And how many locations does the paper go to?
Oh, we go
because
to
because I see it.
Yeah,
I see it show up in non-golfing establishments,
right.
And I'm always very impressed at how you distribute the paper.
We've got some great local folks that deliver the publication here in Middle Tennessee to about 80 locations in Middle Tennessee. We hand deliver those. But we UPS others to as far away as the Gulf Coast, North Carolina, Kentucky, Mississippi, and parts of Georgia. So we ship, to about a total of 250 locations throughout the Southeast.
And something else going on in the local Nashville area, if you've got any kids that happen to want to play a little more competitive junior golf, something new that's been inspired and kind of a brain thought of my good friend Garrett Malone at the Riverside Golf Course, he is putting together the Catalyst Cup Points League. You can get more information by going at www.catalystjuniortour.com. There's also going to be a parents info night on February 25th at 5:30, as well as February 29th at 5:30. Again, you can check it out at www.catalystjuniortour.com. I believe it's going to be for boys and girls, juniors. I'm not exactly the age classifications. I presume like 10 to 18 should be, I think that should be absolutely fine. You can also email Garrick directly at garrick@catalystjuniortour.com. So that's something else. If you happen to have any boys and girls that happen to play any junior golf, and maybe something that'll go side by side or that'll complement Sned's tour, for instance.
Right. And Garrick Malone, as you know, is a great guy, good teacher, works well with the kids.
That's right.
You can't go wrong if you have a child that wants to participate.
So, folks, keep it right here. You listen to Global Golf Radio. When we come back, right here and now, at the end of February, I'm going to see if Joe Hall can predict who he thinks is going to win the Masters that. And I'm also going to tell you what they're going to eat at the Champions Dinner. So, folks, a lot more to go in the last segment here. You're listening to Global Golf Radio on 104.5 The Zone.
Oops.
All right, folks. We're standing on AT&T here at Global Golf Radio. I'm Barney Aller. I'm the head golf instructor at the Old Hickory Country Club. Joined in studio by Joe Hall with Golfer Tee Times. Folks, as always, you're welcome to give us a call. We're going to make a few early Masters predictions. All you have to do is give us a call at 615-737-1045. You'll also get to talk to Ryan Albanese. He looks maybe a little lonely back there behind the glass, but thanks as always to everything that he does. And again, the number is 615-737-1045. So first and foremost, though, before we look at who might win the Masters this year, Joe, and again, it's too early to tell, but still we can have some fun with it. But at least I know what they're going to have to eat at the Champions Dinner.
And what might that be?
So that takes place on the Wednesday evening.
Right.
And after the par three. And, of course, Tiger Woods wins the event last year. And he's come up to basically say that this year's Masters dinner is going to be fajitas and sushi.
That covers that's a wide range, isn't it?
So, Joe, let me put it to you this way.
And he didn't play in Mexico last week.
No, he didn't, because he's with all his various injuries and stuff, I think he's very wise to limit his travel. I think he's very, very wise to limit where he's going to play and when. And no. Looking forward for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
Again, there's a potential for a big year between Ryder Cup. It's also an Olympic year. So that means Mexico, I'm sorry, but you're out. Including the tournament that starts tomorrow, actually starts on Thursday, the Honda Classic.
Right.
No, he's passed on that as well. But in the meantime, what I was going to get to is the Joe, they could have dirt with ketchup, and if I'm in the room as a champion's dinner, I don't care.
Right.
I don't care. I don't care what you bring out. If you want to have ramen noodles
with
a side order of macaroni and cheese.
You'll eat it, right.
I don't care.
Yep.
I'll do it.
Because
to be a member of that elusive, unique, small little fraternity, and then to get to share stories other players from decades and decades ago.
Right.
And get to take that picture. No.
What they
if
have
he
to
wants
eat,
half fajitas and sushi, I'm in. I'll go for it.
What they have to eat is insignificant.
However, I want to say it was when Sandy Lyle won in 1988 that then the following year it was either Sandy Lyle or it was Nick Faldo. That they had some kind of like haggis or something like that. And I think for a lot of the players, they weren't
they
really, really
up.
Happy
yeah.
about it.
They ate a lot of salad and desserts.
And I forget what other player that this one year, he had something on the menu that most of them were not too crazy about. But I think that also just in case you've got like a unique kind of a dietary, dietary needs of some sort. I think that also they kind of default that I think there might be a little something on the side that if you have a little bit of that, whatever that is going to be okay. If you don't totally agree and you're not all in on the main dish that the champion wants to have.
That would be interesting, Barney, to look back and see some of the most exotic type of dishes.
Yeah, and I think for the most part, I think it's been pretty rare, but I know good and well that in the last 20, 30 years, there have been a few that have been a little unique.
Right.
But in the meantime, Joe, who do you think is going to get to have their champion's dinner next year?
You know, I think the field is open. It's hard for me to really pick one. It is, and I think some of it's going to be who is the hottest couple of weeks out. That's a couple of weeks out, it's not going to be very far from now.
Yes.
So, but I'm not going to go out on the limb and say Patrick Reed, certainly.
Golly, but, what if you won again?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. I don't know. But, no, I just, at this point, I don't think I have a strong candidate. There's about five that, you know, I would throw up there.
So inevitably, what happens with the Masters is it's probably the only major that, because of how the golf course is designed, really, really, really favors players that hit it a long way, and then also typically favors players that have quite a bit of experience on the golf course itself.
Right.
And so that's how and why that more often than not, names that we're very familiar with kind of wind up rising to the top.
That have played there.
It's somewhat rare that a sort of a Danny Willett kind of comes a little bit out of nowhere, that a guy that's a little under the radar that you're not expecting to win. Now, naturally, he won with Jordan Spieth just having an absolute catastrophic failure on 12. But for the most part, it's rare that someone you're really not that familiar with in the world of golf kind of comes in and wins. And as I recall it back in January, if you think it's bold to make predictions now, you should have seen Ned and I back in January. And as I recall it, I want to say that I thought that Rory McIlroy, he's going to get it done, that he's been fueled by some of the comments that Brooks Koepka has said in the previous months as it pertains to, well, I guess from Brooks Koepka, he doesn't even perceive it as a rivalry between him and Rory.
Right.
And I think that that's just enough that Rory is going to push him over the edge and he's going to finally get that leg of the Grand Slam.
Rory would definitely be he's one of those in my top five.
Right.
But here again, I think it's how they come into about the 2 weeks prior to, I think, has a lot to do with it. How they perform in the tournament and where they were when the tournament was about halfway, how they finished. Because, as you know, Roy just hasn't been able to finish strong.
Yeah. Now, one player that, as it stands, is not going to get to play in the Masters this year is Victor Hovland, who, let's not forget, just got done winning his first PGA Tour event in Puerto Rico as the rest of the golfing world was out in Mexico. And I'm telling you, it's not going to be his last win. And his former teammate, Matthew Wolf, that they both went to Oklahoma State, it's going to be interesting to see how those two players, how their careers develop. And when it's all said and done, who has the most wins? Because also Victor Hovland also has a U.S. amateur on Matthew Wolf. And also, I don't know what's going on with Matthew Wolf here lately, but he hasn't played well at all here recently. I'm not concerned by any stretch, but he has not played well. But Victor Hovland, congratulations to you for winning in Puerto Rico. And doggone it, I actually even said a few weeks ago that had we gone to Mississippi then, I would have loved to put a bet on Victor Hovland to win a PGA Tour event, and I could have. Maybe I could have cashed at least a few dollars there.
I think that he is a name that you are going to hear, and because it is a little bit of an unusual name, you're gonna notice it, I think, a little bit more.
That's right. And Victor Hovland now, again, being the first player from Norway, and I never realized Norway being, again, a brothering nation to Sweden and all the success that Swedish men and women have had, and it never crossed my mind that, again, Victor Hovland right now is the first and only ever player from Norway to win a PGA Tour event. But I will tell you where Victor Hovland is playing, and that's on Thursday at the Honda Classic. Now, unfortunately, a lot of the best players in the world are not playing at the Honda Classic. And if I'm the Honda Classic, I'm starting to get a little upset, because when they put my tournament – on the back end or the week after a World Golf Championship that also happens to be out of the country. Granted, it's in the same continent, but out of the country. And a lot of the guys, they just don't want to travel that far because, of course, the tournament would have in the past been a Doral. But they don't want to travel that far, and then the difference in altitude, and it's easy for them to take the week off. And taking the week off means the Honda Classic does not have as strong a feel as they've had in the past. However, Brooks Koepka is still going to play. Tommy Fleetwood's still going to play. Ricky Fowler loves the place. Justin Rose is going to be there. Gary Woodland, your last year's U.S. Open champion, are going to be there. Victor Hovland's going to be there. But some of the best players in the world are not playing at Honda.
You know, I saw an article about the World Championship, World Golf Championship. It's losing a little bit of its luster because its original intent was to bring together the top world players and to have them. But like you said, unless they start having the events out of the country, out of the U.S., it's not really a world. And, two, I think we're just getting a lot of what is supposed to be the top players in the world at this tournament, that tournament, this tournament, that tournament.
Well, so that's it. So for the longest time, they've got this tag of World Golf Championships, and it took a while, as I recall it, that you've got these tournaments, these World Golf Championships, and they're all in the United States.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I guess maybe you can justify it that you've got other players from around the world that are coming into play.
Players are in the world.
But every so often, yeah, you've got to have one of these World Golf Championships not be in the United States.
Yeah. Well, it's world in its players, but not in its position.
That's right.
Or location.
That's right. And then with the remaining minutes that we have left, a man that has given me all sorts of information through the years that I've then gone on and shared here in the Nashville Airways here on 104.5 The Zone, Tim Rosefort of the Golf Channel. I'm not going to say all of a sudden, but from my perspective, I don't know that I necessarily saw it coming, and maybe I should have, but he is retiring, and so he's no longer going to be on the air. He is stepping aside so he can spend some time with his grandchildren and a few maybe nephews and stuff and things like that. And congratulations to you and good on you. But I know that I for one, am going to miss him greatly.
He did such in-depth investigation on the players' situations. I mean, he spent a lot of time with those articles that he brought out. And he will be missed.
Yes, as well as me and him, our haircuts. Maybe we both go to Uncle Classic Barbershop because our haircuts are almost similar. They're quite similar. But in the meantime, the Golf Channel also ran some of the players and some of the comments that they had,
right,
and thanking him for different articles and stuff. And one of the things that I thought that was awfully nice is, let's say there's a half dozen players, you know, wishing him the best of luck in his retirement and stuff and thanking him for stories that he's done in the past. But Brant Snedeker was the very last one to, at least that they showed. And so I thought that was great.
Yeah, that is good.
Well, Joe, that's going to do it for us here on Global Golf Radio. Folks, keep it right here at 104.5 The Zone. Tennessee Prep Weekly is going to be coming up here in just a bit. But that's going to do it for us. Joe, have you got any predictions who wins Honda Classic?
I do not, but it's great to be with you, Barney.
Let's go with Ricky Fowler. We'll see how it plays out. Folks, have a great rest of the week. See you next week. This.